Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
On second thought, you don't have to study. We'll give you the $230 million anyway. It is Chris Carlin in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hembo is here. Evan is here. We have so much to get to today, including some eyebrow-raising comments from Aaron Judge last night after yet another walk-off. We will get to those, and we will also get to the biggest winner of all in the Kyler Murray mess. But that is exactly where things begin today.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
And that is with the Cardinals removing the clause that requires Kyler Murray to put in 4 hours. 4 hours a week. Oh my goodness, a mountain of actual work outside of the facility to actually study for the opponent. But as that was added to the contract, it was just as quickly taken away. First of all, let's hear from Kyler Murray on what happened and his reaction to people who have been questioning his work ethic.
To think that I can accomplish everything that I've accomplished in my career and not be a student of the game and not have that passion and not take this serious is almost disrespectful, and it's almost a joke, you know. It's to me, it's I'm flattered, you know. I'm honestly flattered that y'all think that at my size I can go out there and not prepare for the game and not you know, not take it serious. It's disrespectful. I feel like to my peers, to all the great athletes and great players that are in this league. This game's too hard to play the position that I play in this league. It's too hard.
So wait a second. Who's being disrespectful? The media, the fans, or the Cardinals? The Cardinals, for their part, issued this statement after they pulled the clause out of the contract. After seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract. It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been, and nothing demonstrates our belief in his ability to lead this team more than the commitment reflected in this contract. Then why did you add it to begin with? What was the whole point of putting an addendum in a contract that is not there, requiring a player to study, and now you have gone out and embarrassed the player, and in turn, the player now is annoyed at the media, annoyed at everybody else, because people are questioning his work ethic when that's been going on before this whole thing happened. People have already been saying around the Cardinals that he is the last one in and the first one out. That has been happening already. So there was clearly a reason to put this in to begin with. Man, what an incredibly toxic relationship between the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. It's codependent. We all know couples that never should have been together in the first place, yet they continue to stay together and they fight, and it's just god awful. But is it possible? Is it just possible that the Cardinals knew what they were doing? I'm going to say no, because that's not what history would dictate at this point based on what we've seen from them as an organization. I think it's pretty fair to say there's a reason they've been to one Super Bowl. There's a reason. They're not well run. They don't have a great owner. So do the Cardinals actually know his disposition and believe for a second that he would be motivated by this? And if so, why do you need to do this? Like, Hembo, I am trying to wrap my head around who actually wins in this whole thing? Because Murray gets the contract, but he gets embarrassed by it. And now he has to come out and say ridiculous things, blaming everybody else, as opposed to just doing the smart thing and downplaying it. And then secondly, is it the Cardinals who have handed over the money, put in a clause, leaked it, because they wanted to make sure everybody knew that the player needed to be held more accountable, and then pulled it out because, oh my God, what happened? He got ticked off about it. Who wins?
No one wins, except, well, I suppose talk show hosts win.
Well, that's true.
There are no victims here.
Yeah, no.
There are no victims here, only idiots. Best I can tell, this is obviously not how a good company does business. You don't air your dirty laundry in public, and you don't have to put in clauses like this for your leader, who shouldn't feel prompted to unprompted defend himself, like, which is exactly what happened yesterday. No one asked him to be. He volunteered his time to defend himself. This was not a group of his teammates or his coaches that said, wait. The narrative is getting out of control here. This is Kyler Murray defending himself unprompted. Are there other CEOs and other businesses? Are there other quarterbacks around the sport that would have done that? If people were saying this about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Dak Prescott or any number of other established quarterbacks, they're not reacting the way that Kyler Murray did. He should, frankly, he should just show it on the field. Yeah. And what he showed on the field over the course of 3 years is that he has not improved one iota.
But he wasn't done. His reaction to people that now believe he does not have the appropriate work ethic.
To those of you out there that believe that I'd be standing here today in front of y'all without having a work ethic and without preparing, I'm honored that you think that, but it doesn't exist. It's not possible. It's not possible.
It's not because, you know, even earlier this week, Lincoln Riley was asked about this by Heather Dinich. She talked about it on Get Up the other day, and I think it kind of flew under the radar a little bit.
Hmm.
Lincoln Riley said, listen, he's an amazing player. He's as good as it gets. If there's anybody I know who is smart enough to play the game this way and actually go out there and be able to read everything and instinct and all of that, it's Kyler Murray. He didn't say Kyler Murray works harder than everybody out there. He said, if anybody could do it, it's Kyler Murray. And to me, that's understanding that you need to keep your relationship intact with the player, but not exactly going out of your way to dispel the narrative. And that's what Kyler Murray's job was yesterday. It was just to treat it like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But all he did was lend credence to it. And I'll tell you something else, Embo. There are times where I can get easily swayed on things. I genuinely, prior to this week, even with what he had said, really liked Kyler Murray. Now I don't. I'm kind of rooting against him. It's not personal, but when I see him basically scoff in the face of this whole notion to begin with and come out and really treat it like it's a thing, all he has done is put a target on his back. Like, if I'm what really could work about this, like, if I'm a Cardinal fan, the first time he's playing poorly, what am I saying?
Ooh.
That's one.
I'm from Philadelphia, so that's what I say to pretty much everybody.
And two, you're also saying, well, I guess he's not working hard
mm-hmm.
enough. He's mailing it in. We gave him the money, and now we screwed up.
Chris, he signed the contract. This is not like a leak that the Cardinals would like to do this. He agreed to this. So I don't exactly know who he's like. I guess his complaints are directed towards us. At least that's what he said. The media, right? Media at large.
Mm.
That is the heart of the problem here. The fact that this became a thing and he made it a bigger thing and he's pointing his finger in that direction demonstrates to me that he doesn't get it. Like, he's doing what Mike McCarthy did earlier this week.
Yeah.
When he showed up, was asked a question about his job and made it a thing. If you're doing your job properly and you're confident in your abilities, you don't make things like this things. We're talking about this more today because of what he said, and I think what he said was irresponsible.
Look, when you come out of after a bad loss and you say something like that, that's one thing. You know, or if you say something that's regrettable, that happens. In the moment of being upset about something, he's had a few days here before he had to talk to anybody about it. So the fact that his agents didn't go out of their way to make sure that he was prepared to just downplay this means that there's been a clear lack of understanding from their perspective. And I think that we've already seen that with their statement when the season ended, complaining about his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, all I can do is look at Murray now. Like, we're having the top 10 players at each position to debate last week, right? And we're talking about top 10 quarterbacks, and I'm putting Kyler Murray ahead of Dak Prescott. Maybe not right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyler now is probably at 12 or 13 for me, and it does affect just this little idea, because it tells me that when you look at his numbers and how good he's been and how he's helped the Cardinals, all it tells me is he could be better.
Right, and the data tell us that, like, that's like him being great is on the list of options, but he doesn't sustain it over a season. In 2020, he started 5-2, and they tanked. Last season, he started 8-2, then they tanked. The league has, in consecutive seasons, caught up to him, and when you look at the first three seasons of his career, QBR is measured 0 through 100. His numbers are 58, 62, and 57. 50 is average. Kyler Murray is a slightly above average quarterback, but he has not deviated that over the course of 3 years, and that lack of growth would be extraordinarily concerning to me if I were a fan of that team, having just guaranteed him as much money as they did.
And the last part of this is, do you want to be great? Do you want to be great? Because there really is a big question to me now about whether or not he wants to be great. I don't have any doubt that in his mind he thinks that he wants to be. But when you're not willing to fall in love with the process of doing all the work that's necessary for it, that speaks more than anything else. And so if I'm the Cardinals, this was so easily avoidable by doing one thing, not giving him the contract now to begin with. I mean, I get it. You feel like you might have been pigeonholed a bit into doing it. But if the real reason was you wanted to pay him $37 million now as opposed to $44 million after a great season this year and have your team advance even further, which kind of feels like it might be a big part of it, then shame on you.
Mm.
That is 100% on you. I need this guy to prove he wants to be a great player.
Two quick yes, no questions. Will the Cardinals make the playoffs this season?
No.
Will Kyler Murray finish this contract as a member of the Arizona Cardinals?
Wow, that's a great question. That is a great question. I think he'll end up playing somewhere else at some point. It is Chris Garland in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hembo is here. Evan is here. We are just getting started. So with this in mind, does this actually make you root against Kyler Murray? After all of this, does it make you root against Kyler Murray? That's what I want to know. Has it changed your perception of Murray? Your opportunity to be a part of this discussion at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Up next, some surprising news late last night involving the Angels, their future, and their superstar. The biggest problem that they have is not Ohtani, is not Mike Trout, is not Arte Moreno. We'll explain in moments. Next, Greeny on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Star we didn't necessarily think is going to be available via trade might be after all. It is Chris Garland in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. We get to that in just moments. It's time to say goodnight to the check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free so you can drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Hembo is here. Evan is here. Hembo is wearing a Hawaiian shirt and now has a lei as well. And
kind of itchy.
The lei?
Yeah, the back of my neck. It's a little itchy.
What's going on here? Like, what, why?
We do Hawaiian Shirt Fridays here at the office.
Wait, since when? When is that?
This is our third one.
The crew started doing it, which I just found out about. Mm-hmm. But, like, I didn't realize, like, have we turned this into office space? Like, in the movie Office Space, they have Hawaiian Shirt Fridays, mm-hmm. and that's supposed to help with the morale. Are we worried about the morale? So, you know what? Let's wear Hawaiian shirts on Fridays.
It's not a morale issue. It's the summer. Let's just have a little bit of fun on a Friday.
It's casual Friday.
You look like you're going to a parent-teacher conference. Like, could not look less fun.
Well, you know what? I'm actually on camera. It's just a sport coat and a button-down shirt. You take this off. I got jeans. I got sneakers.
Why are you wearing a coat? It's going to be 85 in the city today.
Because it's going to be 20 in here. And that is the way I like
it. But you're still sweating.
When it's 20.
You're glistening.
This is not sweating. This is not sweating. When you, I'm not wearing that. First of all,
put it on.
They're giving me a lay. Like, this could fit around my head
with. I want to see. If not, wear it like a crown.
No, like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, look, that'll go around your head.
Yeah, with no neck.
That's very nice.
Yeah, okay.
That's very nice.
Well, but at any rate.
You're like Ebenezer Scrooge right now. Have a little bit of fun, kid. Come on.
I do have fun. My life is fun. But if let me tell you something. I worked in TV full-time for 8 years at SNY in New York. They knew, my guys in the crew always knew. We joked about it, but it was the truth. Like, it's not cold enough unless you can see my nipples through my shirt. Like, that is when it is cold enough in the room.
Are we allowed to use nipples on the air?
Well, we just did, so I'll find out if I'm employed in an hour
or so. I suppose,
I
mean, Greeny often talks about his bowels, so what's the difference?
Well, this is obviously much better. Like, they better be able to cut glass. Like, that's all I'm saying. For it to be cold enough for me to be comfortable enough. And listen, I sweat no matter what. That's not the point. The point is you're wearing a short sleeve, loud Hawaiian shirt. You're on camera in the morning.
So
it's chewing on the scenery. You know what this is? It's trying too hard. It's trying too hard. Because you're on Get Up.
I am.
With the Hembo questions and
yeah,
Hannah, stumping Jeff Darlington. Between the two of you, I don't know who's chewing on the scenery more. It's worse than Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman, for Pete's sake.
During the sneaky Hembo question today, in fact, the trivia question on Get Up, Hannah pointed out my parrot shirt. Like, I have a chance to maybe swing a Vineyard Vines deal out of this, and the joke will then be on you.
First of all, if you're swinging a Vineyard Vines deal out of this, I need a slice of that action.
Fair enough.
But secondly, honestly, if you're now in the midst of looking for marketing deals and that is influencing your wardrobe choices in the morning, I think you need to grab a little perspective with twins on the way.
I do have twins on the way, but I also do have my own daily segment. I've only had it sponsored once. It was a pesticide. I'm looking now. Vineyard Vines might be interested in my work. They might be a fan of my work.
I wish I had the pesticide to kill the birds on that shirt right now. It's Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Ray in Tennessee on Kyler Murray is up. Ray, what's going on? You're on ESPN Radio, bud.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I'm glad. I like listening to you guys. My take on the Kyler Murray thing is, like, if I'm an owner and I'm paying you $160 million of my money, I want to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do to keep the team right. Obviously, it was put in the clause because there was something that was there. Somebody said something or somebody saw something in his performance. Don't double back on your words, because now you make yourself look stupid by just not saying anything.
The Cardinals not only make themselves look more stupid, but they have now handed over the money. So you could have waited until the end of the year. And if you want to tell me that based on what we saw from Kyler Murray's agent at the end of the season, that they were going to potentially, they being the agent and Kyler, make this an issue, hold in, claim an injury during training camp, that speaks even more to it for me. Because when you're a quarterback and your team has questions about that and your teammates are the ones who are going to notice the most, you need to hold off on giving that guy the money until he proves that he's interested in doing every single part of the job right.
Let me ask you a question, because, look, we learned this week of this independent study clause. My question for you is, do you think the owner signed off on it originally? And do you believe that it was ultimately the owner who decided to eschew it based upon the public backlash? Because to me, this strikes me as something that rose above the general manager.
I think that the owner probably wanted to do it. It would not shock me. And it would not shock me that the Bidwells did not necessarily have the best idea when it comes to how to handle something like this. Because I am familiar with people in that organization. There are people who know what they are doing in that organization, especially from a public relations standpoint. But if I'm Steve Keiman, this was my idea. Wow. I mean, there have been a lot of issues to begin with for Steve Keiman that we don't necessarily look at. The last couple of years, they have improved. But this is somebody that drafted a quarterback and immediately the next year, realizing it was a massive mistake that he made, was more than willing to take another guy with the first overall pick. So when you do that, is he just protecting himself here in that I did pick the right guy this time? I don't know. It's Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. So late last night, reports started to surface that the Angels would actually entertain offers right now on Ohtani, even though it was unlikely that they were going to move him. And I've seen some of the quotes out there. I think John Heyman had one of them where they were asking for the top four prospects in your organization, which, by the way, is 100% appropriate for the Angels to do, even though Ohtani only has a year and a half left on his contract. Here's the problem for me. When you're looking at this, if you're the Angels, this is awfully difficult to try to sell right now, not just to your fans, but I think to Ohtani and to your own integrity to begin with. I'll explain in a moment. Here's Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, who, by the way, will join us 1 hour from now on what the future looks like with Ohtani and the Angels.
Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, has always, with big deals, been the one to pull the trigger on them. He's the one who signed Anthony Rendon. He's the one who gave Mike Trout $426.5 million. He's the one who brought Josh Hamilton in. So the idea that you're going to take the guy who I think is pretty clearly the most talented baseball player in the world, and maybe the most talented baseball player any of us have ever seen or will ever see, and move him before he reaches free agency, it seems like an absolutely foolish thing to do. The problem is, if you don't start winning, he's going to have no incentive to re-sign there after his 2023 season when he becomes a free agent.
This feels like it needs to be a much larger discussion after the season. This is not Juan Soto. And it's not Juan Soto for a few reasons. Number one, Soto has already turned down two massive offers from the Washington Nationals, and that team is for sale right now. So you need to have that situation settled before a new owner comes in. Why? Well, you're putting it on him to either write a massive check right away, or you are saying, we're going to have your first decision be trade away the generational talent. What owner wants that as their first thing, setting a tone, walking in the door? If you are trading Juan Soto, you need to get that done sooner rather than later to not just maximize the return, but to settle exactly where everything is headed. When it comes to Ohtani, while his value might be at its highest right now, and teams might be willing to overpay right now, you have to look at the larger issue with the Angels, and Jeff just touched on it. Number one, the biggest problem with the Angels is the owner and what he does in terms of handing out money like it's candy. Anthony Rendon is done for the year. He played 50 games last season. His OPS the last 2 years is barely above 700. They gave him $245 million over 7 years. You wonder why Aaron Judge turned down 210 for the same amount of time? Anthony Rendon's a pretty good reason why. So he is a massive albatross on them right now. Number two, let's be fair. This Mike Trout deal could really turn out disastrous. It honestly could. Now, I give Trout credit because the first thing he did last night was try to put out the fires on the rare back issue that he is dealing with, saying, listen, my career's not over. Everybody relax. I'm fine. And when the trainer apparently came out and said, you know, it's something he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his career, what he meant, what Trout said is he meant, well, he's just how I prepare and get ready to play and all that. Think about it, though. back injuries, great players who have had their careers ended by it. David Wright ended by it. You think about Don Mattingly, ended by it. Tracy McGrady, completely ended by back injuries. They are the most difficult injuries to really have a good feeling about once it's over with. In other words, you don't know that that's not going to flare up again down the line because the back is so unpredictable. So you've got Trout as an issue. Otani is literally a player that we have not seen in 100 years. He is literally Babe Ruth as a player before he became a full-time hitter. Think about that for a second. I don't think we fully appreciate what this guy is and what the value is that he brings. So how do you justify trading that away, even if you're trying to go into a rebuild? Like, if there's anybody that you would ever spend the money on ever, especially someone that's already undergone Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago, and I think is in pretty good shape health-wise, why wouldn't it be this guy to build around? At least I can tell my fan base, you know what? We are going through a period of transition, but the best player in baseball is staying right here. He's going to be part of the transition. He may want to win. He's 27 years old. If he goes somewhere else, it's going to be because somebody gave him $700 million. That's what it's going to boil down to for me.
Yeah, well, for me, the Angels should trade Shohei Ohtani today. And the reason they should trade Shohei Ohtani today,
you're nuts,
is because his value will never be higher than it is today. And because there is a 0% chance that Shohei Ohtani re-signs with your club. Zero. Zero.
And do I know that for sure? Well, if I'm willing to write the proper check, which Arte Moreno has never shied away from. What he needs to do is rid himself of the other problems that he has.
What are those problems?
Number one is Rendon, and I don't know how you rid yourself of that problem.
Who's taking 152?
Nobody. You're gonna have to eat a lot of that. But number two, you need to really consider trading Mike Trout if somebody will take him and that contract, and they're convinced that he's healthy enough. Because somebody will. Somebody will believe that he's healthy enough, even though he's got eight more years on it.
$284 million more on Mike Trout's contract. Is that an asset or is that a liability? If you were to do the value ranking, if you will, for baseball, to me, he's nowhere near the top anymore.
No, but if he plays the rest of this season, when it's not like we have seen, because of any issues, a decline in what he is doing, his OPS this year is well over 900. Well over. He's doing what he does when he's healthy. Last couple of years, health has been a concern. But let me ask you something. If you see Mike Trout come back here in a couple of weeks and he plays like he does for the rest of the season, is somebody going to want to trade for him?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think so.
And so when you're talking about Ohtani versus Trout, no offense to Mike Trout, he's not a guy that can go out there every 5 days and throw 7 shutout innings in addition to hitting 40 home runs.
I don't disagree with that. But going back to my original point, Ohtani ain't re-signing there because he knows that organization cannot properly equip him with the chance to win. The last time the Angels had a winning season was 2015. The Angels have the longest active streak of that kind in baseball. Longer than the Pirates, longer than the Marlins, longer than everybody. And the last time their farm system had a winning record was 2013. This organization is worthless. These are the only two bright shining stars in the entire Major League club right now. The entire club. Trout and Ohtani have produced 8.8 wins above replacement this year. 8.8 WAR. Really good. The rest of the entire team has 8 combined. They are the only thing separating them from being a triple-A team are these two guys. Ohtani knows that because I know that. And while Trout is stuck there unless they decide to trade him or unless he decides to want to go, to me, they are just going to be sort of spinning around here, digging their heels in, and ultimately Ohtani will walk and you will get nothing.
Well, but the point is, I'm not saying you have to let him walk. I'm saying I'm not making the trade right now. That is a much larger discussion for the offseason. And if it costs me a prospect because it's the value goes down a little bit, I'll deal with it.
You'll stomach maybe 20% less of a return.
Yes.
For two more months of evaluation.
Because this guy, it's not even evaluation. This has to be a much larger discussion about where we're headed and about what he wants to do. Because if he says this offseason, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, okay, great. Mm. But let's let calmer heads prevail, and let's take a month after the season, and let's get that all in order. Because this is not your average star. This is a guy that literally comes along every 100 years.
Ultimately, it was the Albert Pujols contract at first that prevented Mike Trout from being a perennial playoff player early in his career when he was brilliant and when that team was close. And now it's the Anthony Rendon contract that might wind up being the reason they can't keep Ohtani. If owners out there that are watching, that are listening, those mega contracts have way more downside than upside. The Angels are the perfect illustration as to why.
Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. If you're on the go, you might be skipping eating the healthy way, which is probably making you feel a little bit more sluggish these days. Well, as a reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Made with whole grains and low in fat, Cheerios also provides 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into today. It's oh so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store. So, after all of the Kyler Murray mess of the week between the Cardinals and the quarterback, who is the big winner? We'll find out the answer next from our front office insider. But the answer, see what he has to say. My answer is neither. Somebody else is the big winner. We'll tell you in moments on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny, the podcast.
The big winner in the Kyler Murray mess, that in 30 seconds. Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus on your smart speaker as well. Don't forget about streaming on the ESPN app. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. The AutoZone Fix Finder service not only identifies the check engine light code, but also helps identify the most likely cause of the check engine light being on. The information provided by the free AutoZone Fix Finder service is verified by data from over 5.5 million ASE certified technicians. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save some time and some money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Chris Carlin in for Greeny. Hembo is here. We now welcome in our ESPN NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us right now. Mike, great to have you with us. Appreciate a few minutes. How you doing?
You know, ESPN Radio was doing programming. I didn't think they would want the triumph of Carlin, Hembo, and Tannenbaum, but I guess, you know, they went to the back of the roster here on a late Friday in July, and here we are.
It's called setting the world on fire. That's what it is, Mike. So let's get to it. Speaking of setting it on fire, the Cardinals and Kyler Murray both seem to do a pretty good job of that this week. Just give me your overall take from 10,000 feet on how this really played out during the course of the week.
You know, Hembo was there earlier in the week on Get Up. I actually liked it at first from a standpoint of, like, Kyler Murray obviously has an area he has to get better at. The Cardinals wanted to reward him because he's a progenitor talent. And it was something that was just poorly executed. Like, I was stunned that they weren't more prepared for the blowback. And the thing that really stuck out to me was, like, if you're going to go all in with an unusual clause, why do 4 hours? Why not do 40 hours? So, and the other thing fundamentally, guys, is if you're Arizona, why, if you have these concerns, you could also just do nothing and not extend them yet.
Mike, I don't expect you to say players, but did you ever have this kind of a concern about a player when you were giving him a contract?
Absolutely. And that's why we didn't get deals done. I mean, I wasn't perfect. You know, my track record will certainly show that. But I feel like one of the things that came somewhat naturally to me was, like, to look somebody in the eye and say, hey, look, you want this extension. Here's what needs to get better. Your lower body flexibility, your dependability in the offseason, your weight. You know, you led the league in MEs, whatever it may be. Like, we want to reward you because the better you play, the better it is for our organization. So let's look at the challenges we have collectively, stand shoulder to shoulder, and let's try to solve them.
Mike, would the Cardinals have been better served to just wait and actually address this and make him prove it before giving him a contract? Or does this just make more financial sense for them for the long haul?
Well, I don't think the clause would have been enforceable. We'll never know. Like, you know, arbitration's a real tricky thing. So I just think, like, if you have those big of concerns, like, sometimes waiting is, like, your best option.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider with us. Okay, let's get to some of the other issues going on around training camps right now. How does this now play into Lamar Jackson from a financial standpoint? You have Murray, who did not get all of it guaranteed. You have Watson, who did get all of it guaranteed. So lay this out for me for Lamar Jackson trying to get a deal done before the end of training camp.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Lamar Jackson's really tied to Deshaun Watson. I think Kyler Murray really impacts that at all, guys. So, like, to me, I think if I'm Watson, Jackson, who's handled things so well, his deal, if I'm him, has to look just like Deshaun Watson's, or I'm not signing it.
With that in mind, Mike, if he's not going to sign it, should he be comfortable enough to go into the season without an extension?
Well, I've said this before. He should get a massive disability policy. You know, we're just talking about such substantial sums of money, guys, where hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake. So in good conscience, I don't think you go on the field without a really robust disability policy.
And explain that, Mike. In other words, it's an opportunity for him to recover that money if he does get hurt, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, plenty of players have bought those in the past for, you know, the obvious reasons, and it would be totally appropriate in this situation.
Mike Tannenbaum with us. Okay, DK Metcalf extension. First of all, the idea that the Seahawks were willing to do that when they are in a different frame of, well, they're just in a transition period right now, clearly. Was it worth it for them to do this right now and have him be a part of the solution long term?
Absolutely. When you hit on a player like DK Metcalf, he's young, he's fast, he's a point scorer. He never leaves the building. So highest paid receiver. And for him, 3-year extension, gets another bite of the apple. Tremendous contract and well-deserved for DK Metcalf.
Okay, so how does that now impact Debo Samuel wanting a deal?
Yeah, now if I'm Debo, I need 5 cents more than DK. And I think by San Francisco waiting, probably cost him a couple dollars.
Mike, great stuff as usual. Appreciate the insight, and we'll talk soon. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us. It is Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Certain people make life easier by helping out, and ZipRecruiter makes hiring easier because they do the work for you. How? Well, ZipRecruiter's technology finds great candidates, and you can invite them to apply. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny to try for free. The big winner out of the mess from Kyler Murray is absolutely Lamar Jackson. And while his contract may not be necessarily tied to what Murray got, it just continues to show and prove you have a great player who handles himself the right way and is a pure winner. That money is coming.
Greeny, the podcast.
Hey, tell me if you've heard this before. Big year for Saquon Barkley. Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Here's Barkley yesterday on what he is focused on this season.
I just want to show the Giants that, you know, the guy that they drafted is still here. And I can still go out there and make the plays and help my team be successful. And that's the only thing I'm focused about, is take care of myself, take care of my body, take care of my mental, and try to be the best teammate I can be.
You know, I don't want to knock Saquon Barkley. It's been injuries. We understand. And we know what he was capable of based off of year one. But it's a little bit difficult to see him being a big part of the Giants' future right now.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Saquon Barkley is only good at football on Instagram. Now, he is very good at Instagram. So, I mean, those quads, like, everyone likes, like, Saquon. Like, he's a great, influencer, if you will. But he doesn't influence the way the games are win and lost in the NFL. And over the last couple seasons, he has been pretty much a non-factor. Trivia question for you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
228 touches for Saquon Barkley over his last two seasons. How many of those touches do you think he gained 20-plus yards?
Oh, wow. I would say 12.
The correct answer is 5. Saquon Barkley has 5 explosive plays
single digits
in 2 years.
Yeah.
So look, yes, injuries are a factor. Yes, the Giants' inability to build an offensive line is a factor. But when you look at the career arcs of running backs, they're pretty much precipitously declined from the moment that they peak, and he peaked as a rookie.
Yeah.
So I would be stunned if Saquon Barkley ever became a player again that averages 100-plus scrimmage yards per game. I'm not in on him on fantasy this year. He's a player for whom I have to see it to believe it after so much downtime.
Here's the other question, and you posed this off the air when we were talking before the show. Who's more likely to be on the Giants in 2023, Barkley or Daniel Jones? Mm. I think my answer is no. Honestly, I don't think either one really has a great chance to be on the team, because Barkley, if he has a big year, is going to want to be paid, and I can't justify that.
No, most definitely.
Yeah, and if he has a big year, chances are Daniel Jones has played better, but it's not going to convince me that he's the guy long term.
I think if either of those guys plays well, you'll see them franchise tagged potentially. Probably Saquon Barkley being more likely. I can't imagine Daniel
Jones. Because the number's less. Yeah.
Right. Just, I can't imagine Daniel Jones is going to command that kind of money. I can't imagine he's going to be that good. I think the Giants are using him as a placeholder to whomever they draft next year. I suppose if Barkley has a big bounce-back season, which I'm not expecting, they'll tag him. That's just my best guess.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that Daboll is going to have a very positive influence on Jones. I'm a little skeptical.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.